Cook the Goose. My name's Chase.
My name's David.
And welcome to RTR Forward, where we talk about everything and anything pioneered forward. You like that? Changing it up. But anyways, we have an interesting podcast for everybody today. We're going to be talking about a few different things. The Secret Lair bundle is coming out. They should be out now. I think they're available now to purchase. At least
you were able to purchase all 7 today. I don't know if you could purchase the first one or not yet.
Yes. And then we've got some Pioneer bands to talk about. And then to finish up the podcast, we've got Historic 2.0. What does that mean for the future of Historic? Is Historic no longer dead in the water? We'll find out.
So, not trying to jump ahead, but I haven't been looking at stuff today, so I have no clue what was banned other than what you just told me right before we started. So,
oh, buddy. So we're going to have some predictions as well. So let's just start it off. You know what? Let's throw a curveball. I know our outline says we're going to start with Secret Lair, but let's start with the bands. Bands sound more exciting.
Bands. And plus, then I won't see it on the paper because I'm sure it's somewhere in here.
All right, David, it's time for your picks for bands. Who do you think got banned?
Who?
Yes. Was it your mom? Was it your mom? Was it your dad? Was it Uncle Steve?
So, let's think momentarily. Well, so, you kind of spoiled one. You said something about my dear looter scooter, smuggler's copter. Yeah. Sounds like that's gone. Probably deservedly.
Yeah, Smuggler's Copter, if you don't know, is a 2-mana artifact vehicle. So vehicles are pretty cool little things that came out a few years back where you can actually... So you play it as an artifact. It's not a creature. But then you can tap your creatures equal to the crew cost. I believe it's based on power. Is that correct?
Yes, based on power.
Based on power. So you can crew the vehicle, like, you know, shoving your creature in the vehicle, and then the vehicle becomes a creature and can attack and block.
What's crazy is you can crew a vehicle with another vehicle that's already been crewed.
Yeah, so you can take a person, like a cat, and shove it in a Ferrari, and then shove it in like a Chevy, and then shove it in like a monster truck.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So Smuggler's Copter is a 2-mana artifact vehicle. It's a 3/3. It has flying, and whenever it attacks or blocks, you draw a card, and then you discard a card, and it has crew 1. So that means any measly 1-drop, any little kitty cat can crew it up. So why is that busted, David?
Well, the looting portion is very good. So it's good for fast decks, mid-range decks, because throw away a land. And it has evasion, because it flies. You know, flying is already hard to deal with. Plus, in Pioneer, we're missing Bolt. Lightning Bolt, specifically. Yeah, Lightning Bolt deals with a 3/3 pretty well.
A nice little 1-mana deal 3 damage. I mean, we do have Fatal Push in the black variety. You can push the copter off a cliff. But, I mean, it does have flying, so flavor fail, I guess. But and the other removal is, like, shock-based spells, like Wild Strike. Only deals 2 damage, and the copter is a 3/3, so it's pretty hard to kill. Comes down pretty quick. It's like the perfect tool for any aggro deck, and I think the big issue was it just slots so easily into any aggro deck. Mono Black was playing it, Mono Red was playing it, and just any aggro deck in general, since it was, you know, a 2-mana colorless artifact, it could fit into literally any build, and it was a 4-of in a lot of them.
So with Smuggler's Copter being colorless to cast it, it's a lot more consistent because you don't have to have as much mana fixing in your mana pool. You can be running Mardu vehicles, for instance, and slap that baby down on turn 2, missing 2 of your colors still. So, yeah, just very consistent. Then turn 3, you can be like, get rid of this card that's not great. And hopefully get a better one.
Yeah, and see that, you slide that in Mardu vehicles. You know, you got 1 red source, 1 white source. You don't have that black source, that's fine. Just crew up copter and swing. You'll probably get a black source eventually. You'll loot into it.
Yep, that's a fact.
So when Pioneer was first announced, people looked at Smuggler's Copter going, oh boy, we get to play with this toy that sees no play in no other formats. Really surprised it doesn't see play in Modern, but I just think Modern's too fast. But, you know, people are really excited. Smuggler's Copter is a really cool card. Didn't see a lot of, didn't have a lot of time in Standard. Got banned rather quickly. But the thought process was, you know, we got a lot more answers now than we did when Smuggler's Copter was in Standard. Braid being a key other piece of removal for that, as well as Fatal Push. I don't think Smuggler's Copter lived very long inside of the Fatal Push era. I think it might have even got banned before Fatal Push came out. I can't remember exactly the timeline on that. So the thought process was that there'd be a lot more removal for it, so it wouldn't be as big of a problem. And I think in the beginning of it, it wasn't a problem. A lot of people were running a Braid sideboard for cards like, you know, the Aetherworks Marvel, which spits out big slimy monsters, typically from other realities, Ulamog in nature. But now that, you know, Aetherworks Marvel isn't really seeing play, it's not considered a very good deck at the time. I think just having to sacrifice so much of the main board for, like, the energy package just isn't good enough. A Braid stopped being used, so Smuggler's Copter kind of went free, and it found a really good shell in Mono Black. The ability to loot and discard your creatures that can come back from the graveyard is pretty good.
Yeah, graveyard themes are always going to abuse easy discard outlets like that. Just a reality of Magic, right? So, got any more thoughts on Looter Scooter? Or am I going to try to guess some more cards here?
Let's let you guess. All right. So what was the next card on the ban list? There was not just one ban. There were two. Maybe even three.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, let's start with Once Upon a Time, just because that card's dumb.
Okay.
And they realized it in Standard. Hopefully they realized it in here, too, because Pioneer format, I mean, it made, I didn't see the bans, but I saw some statistics like 5 PTQs, there was 32 top decks at 5 events, so that's 160 decks. 100 of them had green in them.
Yeah, the fact that you can just throw, you know, a few forests or a few dual lands that have, they can tap for green mana into your deck, just to throw in 4 cards that make your deck very consistent, makes Once Upon a Time a real problem, and you guessed it, Once Upon a Time is on the ban list. It did get banned alongside Smuggler's Copter. It is gone. We don't have to worry about free spells on turn 0 in this format until Wizards decides to print another one, because we all know they love to print free spells.
Yeah. Yep.
And quite literally every time they're absolutely busted. So yeah, Once Upon a Time's been really restrictive on a lot of the deck building. It's made decks also extremely consistent. And when I say restrictive, I mean restrictive in, like, you always need 4 copies of it. Like, if you're playing any type of green or if you're splashing green, you always need that card. So it's always going to take up 4 extra slots.
I'm sorry. I'm just over here racking my brain trying to figure out what else has been banned.
All right. We're gonna have a little, it's a little game session. Welcome to Chase's Ban game show. What card has been banned? You know there's been 2 bans already. What's the third? You have 3 options.
Oh,
option okay. Number 1, Nexus of Fate. Option number 2, also known as B. Nykthos, Shrine to Nyx. And coming around the corner, behind curtain number 3, option number C, Field of the Dead. You have 20 seconds, starting now. Choose an answer.
So I don't think it was Nexus, because that hasn't been a problem yet. I have a feeling that's going to come down the line soon, though. 2 freaking land cards.
They're the easiest to abuse. They're free. They cost 0 mana.
Yeah. I don't know. Field of the Dead, I think, has been seeing more. Well, no. I don't know.
I'm going to need a final answer. I think your 20 seconds is up. And David, what is your final answer?
I mean, probably Field of the Dead, because that card is stupid with Hour of Promise.
So is that your final answer?
Sure there's not 4?
Not 4. It's only 3 options I've got for you.
No. I'm saying you're sure there's not 4 cards banned.
There's not. Only 3.
Yeah, probably Field.
Ding, 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 ding. Field of the Dead was, in fact, banned.
Okay.
So say goodbye to the days of late game zombies per land drop in Pioneer.
Probably a good thing because, I don't know, the field decks acted as the quote-unquote control decks, but they weren't really control decks. They were just, I'm going to sit here and wipe the board till turn three when I can cast an Hour of Promise. I don't know. Yes, it can do dumb stuff like that.
Yeah, so Field of the Dead is recently, in the last few weeks, has become more reminiscence in Pioneer as people are realizing that Hour of Promise is stupid. It's a 5-mana spell that lets you grab 2 lands, any lands, and put them on the battlefield tapped. So it's a dumb card. It allows you to find Field of the Dead, which, if you don't know Field of the Dead, I probably should, you know, say what these cards are, but Field of the Dead is a land. It's a non-basic land. It has an enter the battlefield ability. When Field of the Dead or any other land enters the battlefield, if you control 7 unique named lands, then you create a 2/2 zombie. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. So 7 different named lands. So basically what you could do is you get Field of the Dead out as early as you can, ramping, hitting that 7th land, and then just playing more ramp spells, dropping lands, and generating a crap ton of zombies. Now, the really interesting thing about Field of the Dead, and part of the reason why people wish it was legendary, is the fact that you can have multiple Field of the Deads on the field at the same time. So yes, if you have 4 Field of the Deads on the field and at least 7 unique named lands, you will be getting 4 zombies per land drop. So it's pretty nutty.
Seems good.
Yeah, and I think what really pushed it over the top was an innovation in a black-green, lands deck where they added Ormondal, which it's one side of a card. So it's a double-faced card. Westvale Abbey is the land. And so it's a non-basic land, taps for colorless. You can pay 5 and tap it to create a 1/1 cleric, and I think you can also pay 5 and tap it to sacrifice 5 creatures and then transform Westvale Abbey. It's a flip card, so you flip it over once you meet that condition and it becomes Ormondal, the Profane Prince. I think that's his name. I think he's a 9/7 flying haste lifelink indestructible trample. I think that's what he is.
Yeah, that sounds right.
all I know is he's keyword soup on a card.
Yeah.
Once so they could basically flip it pretty consistently with all the zombies that they're amassing. It's pretty nutty, and there aren't a lot of answers to indestructible creatures in Pioneer right now. We have Declaration in Stone, Vraska's Contempt. That's about it for playable.
Yeah, as far as playable, I mean, obviously there's other cards. Okay, so
Field of the Dead was banned.
Field of the Dead was banned.
Once Upon a Time was banned.
Once Upon a Time was banned.
Oh, I guess I could. Once Upon a Time, if you're unaware, is 2 mana, 1 and a green for a green instant spell. That means you can cast it at any time. It has a clause on it for if this is the first spell you cast of the game, you may cast this spell for free. And then its effect is you may look the top 5 cards of your library and select a creature or land card, put it in your hand, and then put the rest of the cards in your library in any order. Pretty nutty.
I mean, the only way they could have made that card even more stupid is if it was like ungeneric and a green Phyrexian mana.
Or it just, you know, could grab any non-land permanent. Or any non-land card.
Or any card.
Yeah, I mean, or any card.
Just go for it.
The sky's the limit. So those are our 3 ban list cards for this week, and I agree with them. I think they were good bans. I think especially with the amount of mono black aggro we've seen in tournaments recently and the amount of, you know, Field of the Dead decks, it's definitely good that they got rid of both in a way, that they hurt both of the decks. Because if they only touched one, the other one would have, you know, definitely taken over. Just kind of like what we saw with Standard when they got rid of Field of the Dead but didn't get rid of Oko, and then we just saw Oko everywhere. So I think it's good that they took care of 2 problematic decks instead of 1.
So what you're saying is we're about to get a bunch of Oko and Pioneer.
Quite possibly. I've seen a few watch lists floating around online. My watch list, though, Nexus of Fate and Nykthos. Those are on my watch list for cards that might get banned.
Bant, Nexus, Teferi, Oko, Nexus. Let's do it.
You're making me cringe. You're making me think of Standard all over again. I hated Nexus of Fate. If you don't know, Nexus of Fate is a 7-mana instant spell. Take an extra turn after this one, and then shuffle this into your library. Pretty dumb.
Yeah, just don't have it shuffle into your library, and it's just a card.
Yeah, it's the fact that you can't even, you can't mill someone out, because it'll just shuffle back into the library. Basically the strategy of these Nexus decks is to use like cards like Tamiyo, which she can fill your graveyard with cards. So you just basically want all cards that aren't Nexus of Fate in your graveyard, and then your deck just becomes four Nexus of Fates, which means you basically have infinite turns.
Then kill somebody with a Lumbering Falls.
Yep, kill somebody with a 3/3 land creature. Slow and painful death. But anyway, so I think Nexus of Fate is definitely something we need to, that's going to be on the watch list for sure. I think that deck is definitely going to pick it up maybe more. I don't know. We're going to see definitely a resurgence of control decks in general, with Field of the Dead leaving the format. Field of the Dead was the premier control deck. It was the control deck to beat all control decks. So Nykthos Shrine to Nyx is another potential candidate for a ban. It was definitely on a higher list, or a higher priority list more recently, when Mono Green was a little more rampant. Then Mono Green took a hit, definitely stifled it. I still think Mono Green is really good. Now that Once Upon a Time is banned, I think Mono Green is not as... It's still going to be good, but it's not going to be as consistent as it was. So we'll kind of keep an eye out on Nykthos. So I'm not sure. But what about you, David? So I've got two on my watch list. What about you?
Someone's going to break the hell out of Aetherworks Marvel, and then they're going to have to ban it. It's going to happen. It will happen.
I'm going to assume that... So Ikoria, you know, the set that comes out in spring, Behemoth, Lair of Behemoths. It's going to be a big monster set.
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's a big monster set.
So yeah, somebody's going to break Aetherworks Marvel real quick at some point. It's just going to come out of left field. There's going to be like two people that come to a tournament and they're just like, oh, hey, by the way, you guys kind of forgot about this card. Emrakul, Ulamog. Slam them on the table.
Yeah, I'm excited. I like Aetherworks Marvel. I think it's a fun card. And hopefully with it not being the limelight recently, it probably has fallen in price quite a bit. So pick up your copies now. We're not sponsored by anybody, but pick up your copies now. I'm calling it. Aetherworks Marvel is going to be busted. David approved.
It is David approved. It'll make me cry. Cry like big man.
Not like small child.
Not like small child, like big man.
Like big man. All right, so that's all my thoughts on the Pioneer bans. What about you?
Yeah, so like I said, I think somebody will inevitably break Aetherworks Marvel. And then I think Nykthos is just gonna have to go at some point. Maybe somewhere down the line, Mutavolt. I don't know. Is Mutavolt super fair? I don't know. I never played with it in standard, so. But I feel like it's just a. I don't know. It's two mana. Maybe it'll be less good without Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah.
Because it was just, oh, you wiped my board, but I still have this Smuggler's Copter and Mutavolt.
Root from there.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't think Mutavolt's going to be an issue. I just think cards that can take advantage of it. So, well, so let's move back into our first, our first announcement on the outline. So Secret Lairs, we received some hints and teasers about the Secret Lair exquisite limited edition product. On Twitter a few weeks ago, got some little promos. Nobody was really sure what it was. We knew it was going to be some kind of promo items. We didn't know, like, hey, is it going to be like really cool stuff? Is it going to be like special Planeswalkers? I don't know. So now we know. And like we said earlier, you can get the first big bundle. So basically, what Secret Lair is it's seven different limited edition products that are kind of themed under, you know, have different themes to them, and they're just promo cards that you can buy, and you know what you're going to get, which is different from what we've seen in the past when it comes to Wizards products. It's usually, there's a little bit of lottery involved, but it seems for Secret Lairs, it's pretty fair and pretty honest. So today, at 12 December 2nd, you can get the all seven bundles for the price of one, for the price of
for the price of one, count me in.
For the price of $1.99. So you can, $200, you can get yourself all seven of the bundles instead of paying between $29.99 to $39.99 per bundle. So I think it's factored in, you save about $30 by buying the bundle if you end up getting, if you want to get all of them. I think that's what the math was. I don't know.
I think quick math. I guess it depends on which ones you don't want, but it's like the same as buying five. It's closer to that, right?
Yeah. So you can, it's like you pick five that you want and you get seven of them. So
yeah, you can probably assume, I don't know what you can assume anymore, man. What I will say, so let's start with the first one. The first one is, it's a full art Bitter Blossom. I had to make sure I said that right, because there's a lot of different ways you could mess that one up.
It's Bitter Blossom Dreams. That's what it's called.
Yep. Bitter Blossom Dreams. So it comes with just that one actual magic card and four tokens. And if you put those tokens in that full art card in a row, they actually make one landscape type thing.
Panorama.
There you go.
Panorama.
Chase is better at words than me.
Sometimes. But if you don't know what Bitter Blossom is, it's a 2-mana black enchantment card. I think it's at the beginning of your upkeep. You lose one life and create a 1/1 black fairy token with flying. I think that's what it is. So it generates fairies for you, and that's why you got four tokens.
I just want to point out that the tokens are, in fact, purple. Oh. The tokens that they printed with this, and
yeah,
Bitter Blossom Dreams, it's purple, it's not black.
They're the full, well, the black fairies, as in the fairies are black fairy rogues.
Yeah, but anytime they make black tokens, I know. They're black, they're not purple.
It should have said, they should have eroded it to purple panorama tokens.
Yeah, purple panorama fairy tokens. And also, this artwork may look cool to some people, but Rebecca Gaze is better.
Are you talking about the original art?
Yes.
Yeah, the original art's really good.
Yeah.
I the second art was okay, but I think the original art was the best.
Yeah, because it's by Rebecca Gaze, who makes the best artwork.
Well, there you go. Easy peasy. Buy it now. It comes on sale tomorrow. But as of time of you listening to this podcast, you probably already missed it, so I'm sorry. But December 3rd is when it's on sale. For $29.99, you can get the Bitter Blossom Dreams, which again is one full art Bitter Blossom, and then 4/1 fairy tokens with new art.
See that?
Rama style.
See, that's why I said it so slow, because I knew I was going to get tongue twisted.
Blotterbism.
Biscuits.
So the second bundle is the Eldraine Wonderland. This is a set of five new winter-themed Throne of Eldraine snow-covered lands. They're not full art lands. They're just foil with new art. It's like Christmas-like themed, which is pretty neat. So there's a lot of snow and castles and lights and stuff.
Hashtag not interested.
Yeah. So you only get one of each type of land of the five colors, which is unfortunate. They're not full art. Kind of lame. $29.99 is the price, so you want to pay $30 for five foil lands? No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you. I said good day, sir. So that's basically not a lot to talk about with the Eldraine Wonderland.
I mean, the art's cool looking, but like, I don't know. If it was like multiple of each of the lands, then I could see it, but like, I don't know. They were handing out the Rebecca Gay ones in the, I forget which set it was, but they were in those.
The promo packs.
Yeah, they were in the standard showdown packs. That's what they were called. They were in those packs, and those lands were lit.
They were nice. But yeah, like with Modern Horizons coming out this last July, and each pack having a full art Snowland, it just doesn't really, I don't really understand why they're not full art, at least.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't work for Wizards, so, you know.
So, what's the next package?
The next package is called Restless in Peace. And believe it or not, it doesn't have Rest in Peace in it.
Bum, bum, bum!
But yeah, it's this one's got three cards in it, all with new arts. These ones aren't foil, right? There's some that aren't foil and some that are. I don't know. Maybe they are. I could be wrong. I'm not that educated on it. Anyway, we've got Golgari Thug, Life from the Loam and Bloodghast.
I kind of like, you know, Life from the Loam and Bloodghast. They're staples in Modern for the most part. Life from the Loam being in Dredge, Bloodghast also being in Dredge. Definitely cards that haven't been reprinted in a while. So it's definitely nice to see these getting reprinted with new arts, new fancy arts. Have you seen the art style? It's like, what I consider it is like Edgar Allan Poe meets Innistrad, or like kind of like that themed, with a lot of colors. It's really cool.
Edgar Allan Poe, so dark?
Yes. So it's dark.
Yeah.
It's dark and like there's ravens and, but there's a lot of, there's some color to it, which is interesting. It's like offset by like pinks and greens.
Okay. All right. All right.
Interesting. So if you haven't seen it, you can look it up. Google Restless in Peace Secret Lair Bundle and see what it looks like.
All right. Chase. Do the next one because this is the one I'm excited about.
Have you been seeing visions?
Oh, I have.
Have you been seeing four serum visions, all with different art?
Yeah, I have. And they're lit.
The art is fantastic. They're all what I'd consider like a psychedelic theme, peering into time with all four different artists, four different renditions. But what's really cool about this is you actually get a playset of the card.
Yeah, that's the best part. You get a playset. The playset, I mean, even though, because some people like the same art on their playsets, these four arts still go together. I mean, they're one set, right? So it looks pretty awesome.
If you have some friends that like certain arts or the others, just trade with them.
I don't have friends.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other people.
Oh, okay.
But Seeing Visions is probably one of the ones that I think is the coolest as well. Comes out on December 6th, which is Friday. Payday for a lot of people, but $29.99. You can get it that day. And so, all right. So this next package, I'm going to need you to describe it without telling us what it is. Rest in peace, all of the ears. Oh my God. Look how big that sound wave is.
Hey, I couldn't hear it, so it's all good. Yeah, so evidently explosion sounds equals goblins. Today I learned. I know they're red and stuff, but eh. I am also not that interested in this one, but let's go over it. One, Goblin Bushwhacker. One, Goblin Sharpshooter. One, Goblin Lackey. One, Goblin King. And one, Goblin Pile Driver. Like I said, goblins.
A lot of goblins. The art on these is pretty neat. It's a very different style. Very cartoonish, which I think is pretty neat. This is also part of a panorama, all five of these arts for these five cards. One of them, Goblin Pile Driver, was reprinted recently. I think 2015 it was reprinted in Origins. But none of these other cards have been reprinted recently. I think Goblin Sharpshooter was in a Commander set. So we've got some new borders, some new frames added to a few of these cards that were had the old frames back in the past. So it's a neat little product. Like I said, not for me, probably not for David either. So it comes out on December 7th. It's $29.99. So if you want to pick up some goblins, if you're a goblin fanatic, then yeah, pick them up. There's some really neat arts. If you're trying to replace some older versions of some of your cards, trying to run a goblin commander deck, then go for it. But yeah. So this next one, I'm very excited about. This is the Kaleidoscope Killers.
Yeah? What's the Kaleidoscope Killers, Chase?
It's like, you know, serial killers. It's like this
It's the serial killers of Magic.
Yeah, so you got, you know, Nicol Bolas, you know, Ulamog, I wish. But
I was like, wait, did I forget how to read? Because I don't see those on here.
So there's some actually really, really cool reprints. A few of these cards have only been printed once with one art and one frame. So the three cards are the Reaper King, which has only seen print once. Pretty cool commander, five-color commander. You can pay 5 Wooburg for it, or you can pay, instead of paying those colors, you can pay 2 mana. So I think you can like pay 10 colorless or 5 Wooburg or any mixture of that. It's a scarecrow, gives other scarecrows, buffs other scarecrows, and then if you play a scarecrow, it destroys target permanent. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
Scarecrow tribal. Yeah.
Pretty neat. Has a really new art. I think all the art for this is also pretty psychedelic as well. It's pretty cool. So Reaper King, like a $20 card. So you're already like getting halfway on the value for this. The Ur Dragon, which came out in Commander 2017. It was the Dragon Commander. It's only been printed once with only one art. So it's been reprinted here. It's like an $8, $9 card. So as for value, you're getting a lot of value out of this package. And this is not even talking about Sliver Overlord, which has only been printed once. It was printed in Torment. I don't know. It's got old border, but it's like a $30 card, something like that. This is its second printing, and it's just another really good pickup. So this one comes out on Sunday, December 8th. It is $39.99. That is a lot of value for $39.99. That's at least, you know, $60, $70 in value. So if you want these cards, if you're trying to play some five color commanders, or if you're just wanting them to, you know, trade with friends, like, this is just an amazing value.
I do like value.
Now tell me more about value.
Okay, so the last one we got here is, oh my god, kitties. Did I say that word enough?
I didn't know how you were going to go about saying that, but that was great.
Oh my god! It's kitties!
So what's in the oh my god kitties
okay. package? So we got Arabo, I'm guessing. Roar of the World. Regal Caracal. I like me some Regal Caracal. Leonin War Leader. Wasali?
Slings.
I thought Qs were supposed to have U's after a man. Quasali Slingers. Miri, Weatherlight Duelist. And two cat tokens with lifelink. Presumably what Regal Caracal is going to be spitting out, you know?
Yeah. Or Leon and War Leader.
Nah, I don't care about that one. But yeah, this one, I mean, it's got really cartoony type cats on it.
Really cute cats. Some stenciled, some cartoony, but very adorable little kitty cats. So if you're a kitty cat lover like me, you're probably going to pick this up anyways. Though, I will say, on the value train, this takes a nosedive down Mount Everest because this package is definitely not worth the money, unfortunately. Let's just kind of go over some pricing here. So Arabo, Roar of the World, was the Commander 2017 cat deck commander. He doesn't see a lot of play, if at all, as for cat decks, but he's 80 cents. So not even a dollar. We've got Regal Caracal, which was recently in Standard. It was in Amonkhet or Hour of Devastation, one of the two. It was in the Amonkhet block. It was also like a dollar. Leonin War Leader was just recently printed in 2019 core set, so it's about a dollar or two. Quasali Slingers is like an uncommon from a commander deck, so it's not worth very much. Miri Weatherlight Duelist, though, is worth like $10, but she was also in the Commander 2017 deck along with Arabo. So that's cool. If you're running a Miri Weatherlight Duelist, you got new art for her, which is neat because she's only been printed once. And then two cat tokens. So as for value, in comparison to the Kaleidoscope Killers, this set definitely is missing a lot of value, but it's cute kitty cats. So if you like cute kitty cats, then yeah, you can pick this up on Monday, December 9th for $39.99. So what's really cool, what I would say was kind of a shock today, I was looking at Twitter, and it looks like for four lucky Seattle locals, Wizards was going to package up the, if you bought the, you know, $1.99 bundle, they were going to package it up and actually hand deliver it to you. So a few people got their hands on it today and opened it. And what did they find inside?
Evidently, a random foil War of the Spark stained glass planeswalker.
That is correct. So
I'm assuming you're not pulling my leg.
I'm not pulling your leg. The internet was kind of blowing it up about it on Reddit and Twitter this afternoon when these were being opened by a few people. But people were finding War of the Spark foil stained glass planeswalkers in each of their little like individual bundles. So if you get the full bundle with all seven bundles, you get seven of them, one per bundle. So the question is, Is this trend going to carry forth with, you know, if you buy the individual bundles? I don't know. But I think it kind of maybe makes it worth it, because if you pull, you know, a foil stained glass Narset, you know, there's like $500+ right there.
So ridiculous, because it's an uncommon.
It's an uncommon, and it's played in all the very old formats.
Yep.
So, so I guess in a way there was, at the end of the day, a little bit of lottery stuck in each of these bundles, which it wouldn't be the Wizard's way without one. So I'm not surprised.
Yep, that's correct.
As we're kind of thinking about, you know, the Secret Lair limited edition gift bundles, there's some good to it and there's some bad to it. The good, in my opinion, is they're kind of initiating a new philosophy when it comes to printing products, especially with these limited edition products, is kind of a print to demand philosophy. So basically, they're going to accept as many orders as people will make, and then they're going to print them for all those people. So there's no shenanigans as, like, you know, the masterpiece sets from, you know, the last three sets where, you know, you gotta get on Hasbro's site. You gotta cross your fingers, make sure you do all your good luck shenanigans in the morning to make sure you can click put in cart, click submit, click complete order before everybody else does, because there were a very limited availability on those.
More like before the bots could do it, but you know.
Too. And there was a lot of controversy with the last one, where a lot of people were getting confirmations that they had bought it, they were getting money pulled out of their account, and then they were getting emails saying that the product wasn't going to be fulfilled and that they were going to receive refunds. So people were pretty upset. It happened to quite a few people, this causing Wizards to give out foil War of the Spark uncut sheets to each person that was affected. So if you want to pick up a foil uncut War of the Spark sheet, they're pretty cheap on eBay. If you want something for wall art, I think on average they're about $100. So it's the mythics and rares, so it's pretty neat.
We're going to have to talk about our definitions of cheap here, man.
Hey, I spend a lot of time looking at uncut sheets, and $100 for an uncut sheet is pretty cheap.
Anyway.
So to avoid that whole controversy and catastrophe that they've had with the masterpiece sets, they've instituted the print to demand, which is awesome, fantastic. I've heard that the interface for the Wizards website has been really great, and there hasn't been really any issues with purchasing things, so that's been really awesome. Another thing with these is, you know, it's another way to introduce new and unique art. So with like master sets and with standard sets, you kind of have like a pretty generic art style. Every set has its own like art direction, but the art style of Magic is pretty similar among all the sets. So something like this allowed them to contract artists that they hadn't worked with in the past, more abstract artists that were able to provide more interesting works of art than what you'd see on like a typical Magic card. So I think that was really cool to see with that. But, you know, with some good, there's always some bad. So the number one bad thing is, you know, LGSs, so our local game stores all over the country and all over the world, are just absolutely getting screwed by this, because they're not able to sell the Secret Lair products. You have to actually buy them directly from Wizards, which, you know, with Secret Lair products being a, you know, singles product to a degree, you're not buying booster packs. You're buying exactly what you put in your cart. You're getting exactly what cards they promise you. It raises the question of, is Wizards of the Coast selling singles now, and how does that undermine all the local gaming stores around?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Why does Wizards hate our friendly local game stores?
I don't know, David.
Tangent time. Most friendly local game stores, and I'm going to keep putting friendly in front of that, okay? Not just LGS as they're friendly. Most friendly local game stores are small businesses. They're not. There's a couple that are very large businesses, and they make a lot of revenue selling cards online and such. But a lot of them are just people that live in their local areas, just trying to make an honest living.
Play Magic.
Play magic to their communities. And it's not even Magic a lot of times. I mean, they sell other stuff too. It's not like that's the only thing that they push. Maybe that's part of Wizards' problem. You're not only Magic. I don't know. Magic and D&D. But, I mean, people have to play the game somewhere. Like, if there's not places for people to play, they'll stop playing. And, yeah, you've got these online formats that kind of scratch the itch. Like, a little bit. But I'd rather play in person most of the time than on Magic Arena. Depends how tired I am.
Yeah, I think, you know, having an LGS in town is really nice for, you know, meeting new friends. I just really enjoy playing paper Magic, so I just like feeling the cards in my fingers and being able to, you know, converse with the person across from you instead of, you know, just playing against, you know, a faceless robot that just keeps top decking better than you. And just, you know, at least when they top deck better than you in person, you know, you can understand that they're a human being and, you know.
And they stack their deck on purpose. Dirty cheaters.
But, yeah, so that's a big bad. I think while it is a good thing, I think on another subject, the stained glass surprise, I call it, stained glass planeswalkers. Why wasn't this mission before? Why didn't they, when they initially announced these secret lair sets, say, hey, you know, you get a random stained glass foil planeswalker in the set? Why did, you know, people just have to randomly find them? There's some upsides to this because, you know, you're buying in, you can get stuff. But there's also some downsides because some people may have wanted to get these, like, certain bundles but didn't want to because of the value. But now, like, they just threw in this extra chaotic piece of value where it could be, you know, worth nothing to be worth, you know, hundreds of dollars. I think it's just interesting that they didn't mention anything about it and they're just kind of letting people find out.
I mean, like you said, has it been confirmed that all of them are even going to have this, or was it just the four that they dropped off?
We'll find out tomorrow. Hopefully. We'll find out soon, hopefully.
All right, so it's future David's problem.
Yes. So on the subject of, before we close on secret lairs, I'm going to ask David a really hard question that he has nothing about. David, if you were to have your own secret lair bundle, what would it be themed?
Oh, you mean if I, like, made one?
Yes.
Okay.
For yourself.
I was like, are you asking which one I would buy? Because I don't know. All right. So if there was a David one, are we limiting this to, do I have to make a theme?
Yes.
Okay.
And it could just be David shenanigans.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's see. I mean, what are the themes in the existing ones? We've got the Bitter Blossom. That's not really a theme. It's a card.
Berries.
Lands.
Graveyard.
Okay, draw, graveyard, yeah.
Draw spells, explode, angry goblins, five okay. Color creatures. Okay.
So if David had one, ooh, this may not be true for, like, future David, but, like, right now David, and it would have, like, very little value, but it would just be, like, green ramp cards.
So, Temp with Discovery,
Nature's Lore,
Farseek. I'm blanking on that one. That
Cultivate.
Yeah, that one.
Ah,
Kadama's Reach.
Yeah, Sky Shroud Claim.
Yeah, It's such an innocent little package, but I think that honestly, that really speaks to Commander players. And like, I know a few Commander players that would pick up like some foil, just like different art versions of those cards because those cards see play in every green deck.
Oh yeah, and I mean, like I said, value wise, they're not like ridiculous. But if it's a card that you're gonna use, I mean,
why not? Yeah. And
let's talk about that. I pimp out my basic lands before I pimp out anything else. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
And to circle around, they're all Rebecca Gay lands too, because yeah, they're the best.
They are the best. So I guess another question would be, what would mine look like? And I'll tell you what.
I didn't ask you, Chase.
It's okay. I answered my own question. just because you said that, I'm going to make the You Can't Play Magic bundle, and it's just going to be creature Teferi, 3-mana Teferi, 5-mana Teferi, and 6-mana Teferi. All in the same little thing. It's just going to be called You Can't Play Magic Teferi Edition, also known as Core 2021.
Was not prepared for the Core 2021.
I mean, it is Teferi themed.
Right. Oh, jeez.
Just call it Core 2021 sneak preview. Oh, man. But let's move on. We got one last topic to talk about for the day, and it's Historic 2.0. Historic is not dead. Historic was the abandoned child of MTG Arena, once, you know, with Pioneer and everything. But looks like they're saying, hey, we're not giving up on Historic. Historic's back, and so we're going to add some random cards that help certain decks, and we're going to support it more. So basically what they're saying is they're going to support Historic more in MTG Arena. And if you don't know what Historic is, Historic allows you to play with all of the cards on MTG Arena. Not just the ones in Standard. So if you know your Standard deck rotates out, you can still play it in Historic, which is pretty neat. One big issue that people had with Historic when it was announced back in September and brought into the game around with Throne of Eldraine was that there was no ranked Historic, so you couldn't play any new ranked queues, nothing like that. But they announced that, you know, ranked queues are available now until January 15th. I don't know what that means. Suppose January 15th is around the time the new Theros set comes out. So maybe they're coinciding it with, instead of having like monthly seasons, maybe having like set seasons per set.
Maybe they're releasing an anthology every month. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so they've got Historic events coming out. It seems to be they hinted towards the first one being around when Theros releases. They've got Historic tournaments that are going to be near the end of Throne of Eldraine, right before Theros comes out. And also, they have announced Historic Anthology 1.0, which is a set of, I think, 20 cards that they're bringing from all over the history of Magic into MTG Arena that you can play in any deck in Historic. So, we're going to kind of bounce back and forth and kind of talk about a few of the different cards.
Let's just first of all say that these cards are random as all of everything. I don't know. I don't know how to put this into words. They're from all over the place. It's ridiculous.
They're very random.
That's one thing that's not on the sheet is where they come from, because I don't know where half of them come from. Anyway, let's start out. So first we got Soul Warden. I'm going to tell you what it does, because I don't know what it does. It costs a single white mana. It is a creature, human cleric. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, you gain one life, and it's a 1/1.
Distant Melody is a 3 and a blue for a sorcery. I think it's a tribal sorcery. I think this was from the Lorwyn era, which was like circa 2006, 2007. But it's Lorwyn was very creature type based, so this one is choose a creature type, draw a card for each permanent you control of that type.
Treasure Hunt. It costs 1 and a blue. It's a sorcery. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a non-land card. Then, put all cards revealed this way into your hand.
So, Treasure Hunt's a pretty neat little card. I actually played a little combo deck with it on MTGO a few years back. It's basically Treasure Hunt, 4 copies of Treasure Hunt, 4 copies of Zombie Infestation, and 52 lands. So basically, you mulligan into a hand with Zombie Infestation and Treasure Cruise in your hand. Zombie Infestation is, I think it's 2 in a black or 1 in a black for an enchantment that discard 2 cards, create a 2/2 zombie. So you basically play that, then you play Treasure Hunt, which draws you, you know, 30 cards, and then you discard all those cards to make, like, X amount of zombies. And that's it. Deck was really bad. I died a lot, but it was fun.
Chase with his jank brews.
So the next card on the list is Tendrils of Corruption. This is the 3 and a black for an instant. Tendrils of Corruption deals X damage to target creature, and you gain X life, where X is the number of swamps you control. A very weird inclusion, but interesting.
Next, we got the Goblin Matron. Costs 2 and a red for a creature. It's a goblin, obviously. And when Goblin Matron enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a goblin card. Reveal that card. Put it in your hand. Then shuffle your library. And it's a 1/1. You know what I noticed about all these cards? They're all bears and 1/1s.
They didn't go very high on the power scale.
No, they did not.
I think what led to this was when they originally announced Historic, they were like, yeah, we're going to bring in cards like Wormcoil Engine or like, I don't know, Dark Confidant and Brainstorm and like all these really busted cards. And so people were like, whoa, 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 you better slow down because that's nutty. You shouldn't bring those cards in. Those cards are going to warp through format. So I think they did release a response saying, yeah, we probably should rethink what we're doing. And so now that all that rethinking is this. And a lot of these cards do seem random, but a lot of these cards do fit into niche decks that kind of already exist in Historic. And some of them actually have helped create some decks. So I think what they did was really smart. They didn't bring anything too overpowered, but they brought in a lot of tools that could help some decks, pick up. So yeah, the Kiln Fiend, this is another one of my favorite cards. This is a popper card. It's a popper all-star right here. This is it's a common creature, one in a red for an elemental beast. Whenever you cast an instant sorcery spell, Kiln Fiend gets +3/+0 until end of turn, and he's a 1/2. Pretty fun little card in popper, with the red blue Delver decks
back in the day. It's still a thing.
Yeah, I haven't played
it lost some tools, but it's still a thing.
Yeah, I remember a Gush and the one blue Phyrexian mana spell that I can't think of, Cataxian Probe. I have those cards are banned and popular.
Yep. Next we got a Elvish Visionary, which is one in a green creature elf shaman. It's a 1/1. When Elvish Visionary enters the battlefield, you draw a card. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, this is a card that was in Standard a few years ago. I think it was in Origins. It saw a little bit of play in green decks because it's literally just a 2-mana 1/1 that cycles, basically draws you a card, which is pretty neat. There was an Elf Ball deck, if you remember, back in Standard right before Rotation.
I remember the term Elf Ball, but I don't remember
it's
the deck.
It's basically you just play a bunch of elves, and you have the one Elvish Legendary creature that gets bigger and then taps to create add X amount of mana. So you basically just ramp up your board, and then you play a huge, behemoth, whatever he's called, and raise Forerunners, which is the 7/7 that gives everything trample and +2/+2 and has haste.
Oh, wait, that was recent Standard.
Yeah, that was recent Standard. That was right before Rotation.
I think I do remember that now that you... for some reason, I was thinking that was much older, and then you were like, Ed Boy Razor's like, wait, I know that card.
That card was recent. I think Elvish Visionary was just kind of a little inclusion, like, hey, Elf Ball, here's a draw, here's some consistency. So, the next card, this one kind of came out of left field. I know this is a commander card, but this is Mindstone. It's colorless artifact for 2 mana, and it's you can tap it to add 1 mana to your mana pool, or you can pay 1, tap it, and sacrifice it to draw a card. That's it.
Yeah, basically, a lot better Commander Sphere.
Yeah. I mean, Commander Sphere does tap for mana. For any of any color,
and that's true.
Commander Sphere can be sacrificed to draw a card while it's tapped.
It's also true, but
yeah, it's too bad.
Then we got Ornithopter, classic, 0 mana artifact creature Thopter. It's a 0/2 with flying. It's used and abused in that modern artifact deck that I'm forgetting. Affinity. Ha!
And recently in Pioneer, there's been a blue-red Ensoul artifact deck where you play Ornithopter and then you play it. The 2-mana Ensoul artifact, which is an enchantment, which attaches to an artifact and then makes it a 5/5 creature.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it around.
So it sees a little bit of play. So I think it's a pretty neat little card that they've added in. I'm excited about this next one. Burning Tree Emissary. This is a hybrid mana cost creature. So that means you can pay... So it's 2 mana, but you can play a red and a green and a red and a green.
You pay a red or a green and a red or a
there
green.
There you go. That's how you say it. So when it comes into the... When Burning Tree Emissary enters the battlefield, you can add red and green to your mana pool. And it's a 2/2, so it sees play in Pioneer in the mono green devotion list, where you can just play. If you have multiple copies of it, you can just build up your board and then have a really high devotion, and then tap Nykthos to add X amount of green mana, which is just kind of bonkers. So it's a good card. I'm excited to see what people are doing with it in Historic.
Next we've got Kinsbale Cavalier, which has the weirdest artwork ever. I swear. It's 3 and a white for a creature, Kithkin Knight. Knight creatures you control have double strike, and it's a 2/2. Seems decent.
Yeah, it's
dies okay. Pretty easily to shock.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right. This was another one of those Lorwyn cards. The art is very strange because the art of Lorwyn is also very strange. But yeah, it's a neat little card. I don't think it sees play in any like competitive white or knight decks in Historic, but I don't know. It's an interesting little card. Up next is Hypnotic Spectre. I've seen this card a little bit in some mono black builds. They definitely gave quite a few cards for mono black. We'll kind of go over another really important one in a second here. But Hypnotic Spectre is 1 a black and a black for a 3-mana creature. Spectre has flying. And whenever Hypnotic Spectre deals damage to an opponent, that player discards a card at random. At random, that's pretty neat. And it's a 2/2. So it's smack your face, make you discard the card you don't want it to discard.
Yep. And it's got that evasion, man, flying.
Yeah. Connect pretty easily.
You know what Magic needs to come out with? Random Thought again. It needs to have like a dig mechanic, goes up underneath stuff. Ha! Anyway.
When you said it needed a new mechanic, I was thinking of like super flying. That's all I could think of.
Nope, digging can't be blocked by flyers. Which is 2 and a green for an elf warrior. Other elf creatures you control get +1/+1. Then you can also pay a green, tap him, and create a 1/1 green elf warrior creature token. He is a 2/2 because he's a bear.
Yeah, I think. Oh, doesn't a bear have to be 2 green or 2?
No, I thought a bear's a 2/2, right?
I thought it was a 2-mana 2/2.
Oh, it is technically a 2-mana 2/2.
Anyways, but this you're is right. This is another example of them trying to, you know, give a little bit more legs to Elf Ball. This is just another elf that adds buffs your other elves and can make elves.
So, are you gonna let me do the next one?
Yeah, you can do the next one.
You better let me do the next one.
I'll let you do the next one.
The next one we've got. Oh boy, it's a good one. We got the Crypt Breaker. In case you all don't know, Crypt Breaker's great. He costs 1 black. He's a creature. He's a zombie. You pay 1 and a black to tap him. Discard a card. Create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. Then, you can tap 3 zombies you untapped. Control. Well, yeah, tap 3 untapped. Because how are you tapping something that's already tapped?
You can double tap it.
You tap 3 untapped zombies you control. And then you draw a card and lose 1 life. And he's a 1/1. You know why this card's great?
Why is he great?
Because he's awesome. Did you just hear what I read? It was great.
So he is a 1/1 for 1 that can create 2/2s and can draw you cards. He's a house.
Yes. He is a bouse.
He is amazing. So that was a really strong card. Saw a lot of play in zombie decks back a few standards ago. There are a few zombie cards. I know one zombie that makes other zombies have death touch and lifelink is in Historic. I cannot think of the name of the card for the life of me. I think it's Death Baron.
No, yeah, you're right.
Death Baron.
Pestilent Spirit's a spirit. Ha. Might be a zombie spirit. I don't know. It don't matter right now. As you guys can tell, we haven't been playing a ton of Historic, so we don't know.
Yeah, I was pretty turned off by Historic when it was first announced, and I just didn't play it. And now that, you know, they've announced all these cards, I'm probably going to jump into it and just kind of play with it. But the one problem I have is I opened a lot of, like, War of the Spark, Guilds of Ravnica, Ravnica Allegiance cards, and, like, Throne of Eldraine. I don't have a lot of Ixalan Dominaria cards, so, like, I don't want to waste a lot of, like, cards.
Well, that was an inherent problem that we can discuss here shortly. Let's round out our list first.
All right, so Fauna Shaman, she's 1 and a green for creature elf shaman. For green, you can tap and discard a creature card. Search your library for a creature card, reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle your library. I love this card. This card's in some of my commander decks. It's just a really great creature tutor. I don't know where this will fit in Historic, but I'm sure as time progresses and Historic grows as a format, we'll definitely see some pretty neat things you can tutor up with her.
Yep, next we've got Dark Steel Reactor. It costs 4 and it's an artifact. It is indestructible. And at the beginning of your upkeep, you may put a charge counter on Dark Steel Reactor. When Dark Steel Reactor has 20 or more charge counters on it, you win the game. Yay for alternate win cons!
Neat! When I see this card, I think of, was it Populate? No, not Populate. What's the other one? Proliferate.
Proliferate.
Yep, which is
Green Black Snake, you know.
Yeah. You play a few Proliferate cards with this card as you one of your win conditions. I don't know. It sounds neat. It's janky.
I like it.
Captain Sisse. I've seen this card in Commander a few times. It's 2, a green and a white for 4 mana legendary creature, human soldier. You can tap her and search your library for a legendary card, reveal that card, and put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. Another 2/2. Looks like it's 2 creature tutors on a few of these creatures coming in, which is interesting. I don't know how good Captain Sisse will be. There's not a lot of great legendaries right now, but...
It kind of feels like they're gearing up to be like, oh, hey, here's Historic Brawl or Historic Commander or something at some point. Anyway, next we've got Phyrexian Arena, which is 1 and 2 black for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, you draw a card and you lose 1 life. Seems pretty decent.
Just overall staple in a mono black control deck. Like it's just a good card. Two cards and one and lose a life every turn is just amazing.
Yep.
All around solid card. See, he's playing Commander too. I keep forgetting that cards brought into Historic aren't in Pioneer. That's going to be something to get used to.
That's
going to be a topic for another day, but all the different formats emerging and how do they overlap and just all this crazy stuff. Understanding that, cards that are brought into MTG Arena won't be available in Pioneer is just weird to think about. But anyways, so the next card is, this one's kind of weird. I was honestly really confused by this card.
I just want to hear you pronounce it.
Hitsuga's second right, if that's how you say it. It's 3 and a red for an instant. If target player has exactly 10 life, Hitsuga's second right deals 10 damage to that player. So it's a very much a conditional burn spell. If they've got 10 life... they die. But if they don't have 10 life, they don't die. It's useless.
True.
If someone casts on you and then you, in response, cast a spell that gains you 1 life,
it or basically pro counters. Plays loses you 1 life.
But yeah, I this is an interesting card. I don't think it'll see a lot of play, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it is definitely an interesting Magic card that I had never heard of before today.
It's from Kamigawa. Nobody really remembers Kamigawa. It was a pretty weak set. Yeah. And it was a strange set.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last, but... well, maybe least. I don't know if it's least. Who knows?
It's the last one.
No, I know it's the last one. But is it the least one?
I don't know, Sarah. This next one's pretty good.
Well... that's your opinion. Anyway. Sarah Ascendant. Costs 1 white. It's a creature, human monk. It's got lifelink. And then if you got 30 or more health, it gets +5/+5. Oh.
Yeah, that's a 6/6 with lifelink for 1 mana.
Oh, okay, it's decent.
Yeah, it's a good card. Card when you pair it up with Soul Warden, the first one we said, which again, gains you 1 life every time a creature enters the battlefield. So, yeah, you're getting pretty healthy pretty quick if you play some kind of mono white aggressive deck. And I know back before rotation, there was, a few mono-white life gain decks around. So I think those two cards will fit in pretty nicely. David and I haven't been playing Historic as much as we should have been, possibly. Especially, Pioneer is just so much fun. And Standard is no longer a mess. So,
Well, and, holiday week, yeah, I didn't have as much time to play Magic this week as I would have liked to, but, it happens. Real quick, I want to talk a little bit. You were complaining about not having a lot of Ixalan and Dominaria cards on Magic Arena. And I think that's maybe not an issue, but it's part of the challenge right now, is because when MTG Arena came out of beta, started with Guilds of Ravnica. Yeah, Guilds of Ravnica. So that was the set that everybody was opening, because that's where the new cards were coming from. And they would just, I mean, during that first year of MTG Arena, it was a lot of crafting Ixalan, Rivals of Ixalan, Dominaria. Yeah.
Getting the check lands, getting the staples.
Yep, getting those cards that you needed. So, I mean, when there's a new format and there's like some random uncommons and some rares that weren't good with what cards were with it in standard at the time, I mean, there's going to be a little bit of a larger value to your wild cards for a little bit while you build up the collection of that year.
Yeah, that's for sure. I had a lot of Ixalan cards back before they came into beta. Back when you could play Amonkhet and Kaladesh and stuff. But, you know, they wiped them from everybody's collection and made everybody kind of start fresh. So that was unfortunate. But I think that's one of the biggest hurdles that a lot of people coming into Historic are going to face. Like, hey, I've used all these wild cards on the new Standard sets. I don't have wild cards to spend on these Historic cards that I'm not going to play in Standard. Is it worth it to me? Should I just build random jank? Should I even play Historic? That's a question that everybody's going to be asking themselves as soon as they load in. So, and that's a question I ask myself all the time. You know, is Historic worth the amount of wild cards I'm going to have to spend to play it?
Yep. And honestly, we probably should have put the rarities on there, because I know a decent amount of those cards were uncommons. There were some rares.
So let's see here.
I mean, we don't need to go through it in depth, but like,
I think there were 7 or 8 rares.
Okay, and I don't think there were many mythics.
There were no mythics.
Okay, so
not too heavy on the scale of rarity for crafting those. I will say with the anthology series, if you just want to spend gems, I think you can pay money or gems and just buy all 4 copies of each of all the 20 cards if you wanted to do it that way instead of having to grind for. Like that. So if you're really gung-ho into wanting to play Historic, then just pick up the bundle. It's probably just a better value.
Yeah.
I think that's it for us today. I think we've hit time. Some pretty interesting conversations we've had today, some pretty neat topics. If you're interested in getting a Secret Lair bundle, it's on the, I think it's just Wizards website. You can just Google it. I think I might pick up 1 or 2 of them that look interesting.
One or two of the single ones. I thought you meant one of the like the full 7 bundles. I was like, dang!
I got what, 4 hours left to buy 2 bundles. Drop 400 right now. I think any last minute any comments from you, David?
I don't think so. After reading this, I'm kind of excited to dive into some Historic. So maybe we'll have a little more experience next time.
Yeah, hopefully. This has been a little bit of a longer episode, and I appreciate everybody for listening in since we had a shorter little bonus episode for the holidays. But I'm going to let David say the thing.
Peace out.
Peace.